I'll say good morning to each one of you. Pray God's word is going to bless you today as we look into Exodus chapter 17. If you got your Bible turned there, Exodus 17. As a happy goodsman, continue to sing this song. I pray this song rings in your heart on a daily basis, because the song says I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. And God has put his hand on the lives of the children of Israel. It's where we're reading here. Exodus 17, if you got your Bible, we continue this series of how we see God bringing out the children of Israel. Sometimes people don't understand, what's that mean when we say an Exodus? What's Exodus actually mean? It means two words. It means to go out, the going out, God bringing out the children of Israel. And you know, it's a very similar situation when God saves a sinner. He brings us out of the life of Egypt, which is the life of bondage. We're bound in our sins. We're bound. We live in bondage. God's delivered us from that. Galatians does a great job of explaining how God brings us out of bondage. Well, that's what Exodus is to the believer. Exodus to the Israelite, amen, is the coming out of bondage, coming out of slavery, coming out of dominion, control. And so God has liberated the people, and we saw how God watered them. And then we saw how God fed them. And we saw how God brought them across. And God never quits providing for his people, and he's never going to quit providing for me and you. So Exodus 17, you got your Bible, look there. And we're going to see what God wants to say. Amen, how the word comes alive. I'm glad the word of God never stops coming alive. I've been reading it for 30 plus years now, and the word of God is just alive today as it ever was. Amen. And it's going to be so. Amen. And so the word of God, what does it does? What does it do? It prevails. It abides forever, Jesus said. And this is what we're going to see right here. Look with me in Exodus 17. You got your Bible. And the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses, and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us, and our children, and our cattle, with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Moses looked to God because the heat of the people, the wrath, the anger of the people was so real in this setting. They're thirsty. I mean, they feel like they're parched. They're on the road of destruction. And they said, our children have no water, and our cattle have no water. And what have you done, Moses? You've brought us out here. And yeah, we know God parted the Red Sea. We know we crossed over on dry ground. We know that God gave us manna from heaven. But I'm telling you, it was a different day and a different trial. Isn't it amazing how quick we forget the miracles of God in our life? God can do great exploits, and he does. God does valiantly on our behalf, and we forget, and we fail to trust, and we fail to lean. And the old song says, leaning on Jesus. Excuse me. We forget to lean on the Lord Jesus as we should. And so they're taking it up with Moses. And Moses has walked with God and talked with God, and they've watched the rod of God in Moses' hand, and how that God gave him all of these things and led him and is bringing him. And now they're failing to trust. And they said, you brought us out here to die. Immediately, human nature will take us to the negative. Immediately, human nature will cause us to doubt and to despair and to dismay. But God wants to encourage us. And so here, Moses said, Lord, what shall I do unto thee? To this people, they be almost ready to stone me. And so Moses is crying out to God. He said, this outfit is about to kill me. I'm afraid they're going to kill me if you don't do something. And so they're looking to Moses, And Moses is looking to the Lord. And there's a thought right here. We shouldn't leave. We need that kind of relationship that Moses had. We need to be able to ask God for ourselves. The preacher may not always be available. You're going to need God in a time in the spur of the moment. And you need to be able to get a hold of God now yourself and touch him. And this is what we find. We all have a high priest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And we can bring our troubles to him. And Peter said, casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he careth for you. Church, I'm going to tell you, God cares for you. Sinner friend, God cares for you. You said, preacher, I'm an infidel. I don't believe all this stuff. Doesn't matter. God cares for you. Now, if you don't repent and trust the Lord, then you're going to be doomed. And you're going to be damned unto eternal destruction. But God cares for you. Jesus died for you. He don't want you to go the way of destruction. He wants you to come to him. All that cometh to me, Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me cometh to me, and him that cometh to me, he said, I'll in no wise cast out. And so if you go to destruction, you'll go against the will of God. God's will, God's desire is that you come to him. And so as they come to Moses, Moses appeals to the Lord. I'm glad we can appeal to the Lord, ain't you? We can look to the Lord. We can turn to him. We can call upon him. And so call upon me, Jeremiah said, and I'll answer thee. God said, I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He said, call. And what happened? Jeremiah called and God heard him. And so we see it here. Watch now, Moses, the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel. Watch now, and thy rod. God gave Moses a rod, and it was the rod of God. Now we'll talk about one of these days, we'll preach about Aaron's rod. Aaron had a rod, and God used it to symbolize that there was one man that God put in the authority of Aaron in the high priest. And God only chose one. And we'll save that for another message. But Numbers, you can read about Aaron's rod and how God brought these that contested Aaron. See, when people go against God's men, when God chooses and puts his hand on somebody's life and uses them mightily as he used Moses and Aaron and so many others in the word, and people think, well, I'll put my hand against him. I tell you, that's a fearful, frightful place to be. Why? Because it's to speak against God. It's to fight against God. And so even we see it where Gamaliel, in the early chapters of the book of Acts, he warned those Jews. He said, leave it alone, lest haply we be found to fight against God. He said, leave it alone, fellows. And that was a lot of wisdom. Gamaliel understood that if God's on these men's side, we can't whoop them. And we can't whip God. And the quicker we get this into our psyche, that we can oppose, you can oppose God all you want to. I don't want to oppose him. I want to be on his side. And so I want to be with him. And thank God, I'm glad he's with me. And I'm glad he's with you if you're saved. And if you're unsaved, God will go with you. Amen. If you'll repent and turn to him and come to him and serve him and live him and love him and live for him. And so we see it here where Moses said, Lord, they almost ready to stone me. I'm glad Moses had somewhere to turn. I'm glad Moses had a relationship that said, God, I need you and I need you now, right now. And you know when he got an answer? He got an answer right there in the next verse. The fifth verse. The Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod. That rod was a symbol of authority. It was God's rod. And so it was God's authority in Moses' hand. Take your rod, Moses, and wherewith thou smotest the river. Remember when he come across the river and he smote the river? God said, take that symbol of God's authority. And he smote the river, and he smote, watch now, take it with you, take it in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. I want to tell you, brother, that wasn't just a little trickle of water. That was a lot of water. Why? Because we're going to find it as we read and keep preaching. If we keep preaching this series, you're going to see where there was over 600,000 footmen of war. And so their wives and their children, they didn't have one or two kids. They had a lot of kids. And so there's millions of Jews, and they all drank. They drank. Listen, we see this in the psalm where the psalmist said, they drank of that rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You got to see it right here. The rock of Horeb that we're talking about right here in Exodus 17:6 is not any old rock. It is the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist said they drank of the rock that followed them. Look over to Psalm 105. Psalm 105, I want to see if we can put our hand on this right quick. I think we can. And see this where God explains it. But I'm going to tell you, you're never alone when you walk with God. You said, preacher, sometimes I feel like I'm in the desert. I tell you, Jesus goes through the desert with you. You said, well, I feel like I'm in a storm. So many of our neighbors have been, and we've worked through and travailed through the storm and the restoration of Hurricane Michael. And then there's other storms people go through. There's spiritual storms, physical storms. Storms, emotional storms, and so this, you know, things of health and sickness and loss of life. I got a good friend that just put her husband away. Why? Because he was sick. And you know what happens in Christ? What happens in Adam? All men die, but in Christ, all shall be made alive, 1 Corinthians 15:22 said. And so sometimes we have to bury our loved ones and go through that storm. And so here, watch now, we can see it in Psalm 105. The word said in verse 39, I want to read 38 because this is so powerful to what we preached the last couple of weeks. And the word said, Egypt was glad when they departed. He said, well, I would imagine those Egyptians were brokenhearted because they lost their slaves, they lost their bondwomen and bondmen, and they lost. Egypt lost that night that God brought Israel out. See, this is what you have to remember. Exodus is about the going out. It's about God bringing them through. And so this is what we preached in Exodus 14. Don't forget about that. If you didn't get that message, maybe you can go on the website, Billy Watson, graceandtruthradio.com, and you can get those messages. And so in Exodus 14, they're free of charge, by the way. Exodus 14, and there's about 30 messages on that website at all times. And you can listen to those. Click your phone and listen to it. Get the Word of God. Share it with your loved ones. Give it to your friends. Use it for soul winning. Promote it. Do whatever you want to do with it. It's free of charge. Jesus said, as you freely received, freely give. Amen. I like that. Now watch this. In the going out, God brings them out. This is what the psalmist said about that in verse 38. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them that fell upon them. They were like, my God, I'm glad that bunch of Jews is gone. I'm glad God got them out of here, because our life was, you know, when God's against you, I'm going to tell you, you want peace, and you want help, you want, and so they were glad when God took those Israelites out, and God took them out of Egypt. You say, well, I bet they were sad they lost all their slaves. Well, no, the word said they were glad. And they were like, good riddance. And if you remember this, the word said that they borrowed them jewels of silver and jewels of gold and fine linen and purple and all these things. And what that means is they lent of them, they borrowed from them, but the word actually is interpreted that they gave them. And so those Egyptians are filling up their carts and filling up their sacks and filling up anything they could use to haul off their goods. Those Egyptians were so ready for them to be gone. They were like, here, take it, bless God, and get out of here and get out of here. Now, they were glad. Egypt was glad when they departed. for the fear of them fell upon them. And so verse 39 said, he spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. Remember this? We preached this. How God's got a cloud by day, and by night he had a fire. You know why those Pharaoh and his army didn't pursue them? Well, number one, he drowned them in the sea. But also, before he drowned them in the sea, God put a fire between them. When they camped, brother, they had a protective fire hedge around them, and God would not allow them to come towards those Israelites. Why? Because he loved them so much, he protected them from harm. He protects you from harm. He watches out for you, cares for you. I got 1,000 reasons to love the Savior, because the Savior protects me, and he protects you, and he loves you. You said, preacher, I'm sick. Jesus cares for you. You said, preacher, I'm ill. I don't know what's going on in my physical health, my mental health. I got problems. I got issues. Jesus cares for you. That's what we've got to get a hold of. I tell you, Exodus is more than about the going out. It's about God's provision. God's provision in the life of his people. And God wants to provide only good things for you. He cares for you. Watch now. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. And the people asked, and he brought quails. We done preached this. Watch now. He brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. I tell you, they ate. They ate like they was in the finest restaurant known to man. God's feeding them quail. And remember, we preached this message about heaven's honey buns. God sent them manna bread. Every morning they woke up and there was that bread, and it was enough for the day. And on the Sabbath he gave them enough for both days. And God gave them, listen, it had honey on it. Oh yeah, it's a honey bun, brother. Don't doubt it. God's got honey smeared all over those little cake wafer of that little wafer bread. God's given them that bread to eat every day. Millions of Jews. And you said, where'd they get it? Did they go to Publix? No. Thank God they went to prayer, and God provided, and God gave it to them. And God wants to give you good things if you'll ask him. He said, you have not because you ask not. James said, you have not because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your lust. And so if we're praying for the wrong reason, we need not to expect it. But God wants to give us good things. And so what did he do? The people asked. Listen, what did they do? They didn't call the local radio or TV preacher. They asked. They asked God. Thank God we can go to him privately. We can go to him personally. And God hears the prayer of his people. They asked and God gave them. I love that. That's good preaching right there. And the word said in verse 40, so what did he do? He satisfied them with bread of heaven, the bread of heaven. And then the word said that he opened the rock and the waters gushed out and they ran. Now, we're talking about the same rock I'm preaching to you about in Exodus 17, the rock in Horeb. And the word said they ran in the dry places like a river. It ain't a little trickle, church. Sinner friend, I'm going to tell you, it's not just a little bit of water. It wasn't a cup full or a pint or a quart. Oh no, the rivers are gushed with this water God gave them. God has given them the rivers of water. And so, listen, Jesus preached like this. Remember John 7:37? In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. As the scripture has said, he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know what happened when God smote the rock? Moses took it and he struck it. God told him to smite it. And Moses, you know, he's aggravated because he's listening to this bunch of complaining Jews. They've been in his ear. And I'm telling you, Moses had a long day at work, brother. He is stressed out. You ever come in and feel like you're on your last frazzle? And you said, preacher, it's so bad. It's so bad, I feel like I've been among the wolves. I tell you, Moses has dealt with these Jews, and they've chided with him and took him to task, and he's listening to more complaining and grumbling. And I tell you, if Moses had a hotline, and Moses was a telemarketer, bro, he had an ear full for this day, and when the word said he smote the rock, I bet he reared back and put a whooping on it. And so Moses smites the rock, and he's frustrated, and all of a sudden God has bust forth, and water is coming out of this rock, and the people are amazed, brother. It's coming out like a river, and those millions of Jews are out there drinking. Every last one of them's getting them a belly full of that good, cool, clear water. What did Jesus preach? As the scripture has said, he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Not dead, dry, stale water. Not pond water. Not scum water. No, we ain't talking about water that's got wiggle tails in it. We're talking about water that's pure. Thank God. God operates in his pureness, and it's the purity of his word. And the word said that they ran. That water ran in dry places like a river. Thank God. God has done it again. He's provided for his people. And so what happened? He remembered his holy promise. I want to tell you what kind of God we serve. He remembered his holy promise. And Abraham, his servant. That's right. It goes further back than Moses. I tell you, Moses was many, many years after Abraham. Abraham, God used him, blessed him, put his hand on him mightily. And it's a long time. Those children of Israel were in bondage. They were in bondage for 400 years. Abraham was never bound. It was a long time. It was 400 years later that God has put his hand in Moses' life. And you know what he said? He said, I remember Abraham. What a blessing that is. He's the God that never forgets. He's the God that always forgives when we ask him. He said, call upon me, I'll answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know what he done right here for Moses? He showed him something. Thank God he remembered his servant Abraham. He told Abraham, he said, Abraham, you look up at the stars, son. And he said, they're innumerable. They're innumerable. He said, so shall thy seed be. He said, count the stars if you can. He said, God, I can't do it. He said, so shall thy seed be. God remembered what he promised Abraham laying out there on that mountainside one night when the Holy Ghost come upon him. And he said, Abraham, I want you to count the sand of the sea. He said, I can't do it. He said, that's right. It's innumerable for multitude. So shall thy seed be. And here Abraham is. He don't have a boy. He don't even have a son when this is going on. But he believed God. He believed him. And the word said it was counted to him for righteousness. And you said, preacher, I ain't got nothing to hang my spiritual hat on. Yes, you do. It's in God's word. You've got to believe his word. You got to wrap your heart around his word. You got to wrap your head around his word. You got to take his word and believe it. You got to read it. You got to be exposed to it. This is why you need to get under good godly preaching, where they're not afraid to tell what Jesus said and what God's done, and preach the hell's hot and heaven's sweet, and the only thing going to save you is the rich red blood, and the only one's going to keep you is the Lord Jesus Christ, who spilt his blood, who shed his blood on a cruel cross. And that wasn't a nice little Easter thing Jesus did. It was a crucifixion death, a horrible death, where they drained the blood and the water out of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ when they pierced him in his side and nailed him to a tree. And thank God, God raised him on the third day. It's a bloody gospel, but a blessed gospel, and you'll have to trust in a risen Savior to ever know what heaven will be like. And so here Moses, God's reminded Moses that Abraham, watch now, Abraham, he remembered his servant Abraham, and he brought him forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness. You know how they came out? You know how they came out? They came out with gladness. I tell you, there's gladness in serving God. There's gladness in walking with Him. You'll get past the mully grubs when you walk with Him and live for Him and trust Him. And we see this right here. And so those places ran like a river, for He remembered His promise and Abraham His servant. And He brought them forth with joy and is chosen with gladness. So let's go back before our time gets away. Back to Exodus 17. Watch now. And He called the name of the place Massah and Meribah. God talks about the waters of Meribah. That's right here where we're talking about Exodus 17. Anytime you see Him speak of the waters of Meribah, that's what He's talking about. And the word said that because they had tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Did you hear that? I pray you never say that. They said, "Is God among us or not?" The doubters. I'm going to tell you, you're always going to find the doubters to be present. You're going to find people to say, "Do you really believe that Bible stuff? Do you really believe Jesus? You know, I can do a few things and be a pretty good fella. I can send some money down to the church or the synagogue. I can donate to the poor. I can give away all my worldly goods when I die, and God's going to receive me." No, He's not. No, He's not. The only thing Jesus is going to receive is people that's been bought by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. That's the only hope mankind, womankind has of being saved. Outside of that, you cannot go to heaven. You cannot. And so what do? They said, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is what people do. Do you really have to go to church? Do you have to believe in Jesus? Can't you just believe in something? Can't you love the earth? You know, sometimes people say, "Well, I'm an earth lover. You know, I love the earth." I'm going to tell you, God didn't put the earth here for us to worship. God put us on the earth to worship Him. Amen. And so the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. The world belongs to God. It brings glory to God. And God put me and you here to bring glory to Him. And so they said, as they chided with Moses, they said, "Is the Lord among us or not?" And then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Now, we don't have time to get into this, but you're going to see this. You're going to see this. We'll preach this another time because our time's about over. But you're going to see this, that they immediately went into a battle. And that's the Christian life. You'll have victories. That was a great victory, brother. I'm going to tell you, God has watered them. And so what's the water for the believer today? It's the Word of God. And it's God's Word. And so by the washing of the water of the Word, God cleanses us by His Word. God waters us by the Word of God. And so the Word is water. It's water to the believer. And you know what God gave them? He gave them an abundance of water. And God gives us that through the pages of His Holy Writ. I pray you're reading God's Word. I pray you're honoring His Word, looking to His Word. Why? Because Jesus is the Word of God. And so what did He do? They drank of that rock that followed them. See, this is a confirmation. It's a confirmation right here before we go. Jesus is the water of the Word. They drank of that rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, did you hear that? The Word said the rock followed them. Oh, yeah. The rock. Where's Christ, preacher? Where is Jesus? When I can't find Him, where is He? I tell you, you're never alone. Christ is with us when we honor God and serve God and call upon God. He's with us when we receive Christ. Now, if you don't receive Christ, you can't say this. But if you receive Christ, sinner friend, He's with us. He's always with us. He's omnipresent. He's in our life. He goes with us into the battle. And you're going to find this, that immediately there was a battle right here at Rephidim. There was a battle, and God had to intervene. And so what happens? The Christian life, there's highs and lows. There's ebb and flow. And we see this not every day. Not every day is a parade. We go through trials and we go through those things. Jesus has already been through those things. He suffered those things. But thank God He done it that we could go through life's battles and tests and trials and come out victorious as well. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, God, for the rock in Horeb. I'm glad Moses smote the rock and it brought forth water. God, I'm glad that you smote your son on Calvary's cruel tree. You smote him on Calvary, and we can partake of the waters of the Lord Jesus Christ, the water of life. And so thank God, we praise you for that today. I pray for everyone in need. I pray for the sinner that's lost. I pray for the one that's backslid outside of the will of God, the word of God. They're cold and hard. I pray you'd stir the fires of heaven in their soul. God, do it. Stir us. We need to be stirred. Never leave us to ourselves, but go with us, Lord. Father, I praise you for the word of God. Thank you today for every listener, and I pray you'll minister to every need. In Jesus' name, we ask these things until we meet again. This is Brother Billy Watson, praying God keeps you in his way, is our prayer.